I said, is anybody in love with Jesus today? I'm going to give you one more chance. But I need you to praise him like he died for you. I need you to praise him like his blood still works. I need you to praise him like Jesus is alive. I need you to praise him like you've got no other option. I need you to praise him like he's coming back again. Up in the intercessory room, out of the foyer for 10 seconds, lift up a mighty shout of praise to our King. Hey! Oh! Jesus is alive! Jesus is alive! Jesus is alive! We praise you, we magnify you, we exalt you. If you could give me like lots more fallbacks, because that was quite intimidating, that praise. I just need to be able to hear myself and feel confident. Just from the front to the back, lift your hands. We're standing on sovereign ground. Why you haven't received yet is because your hands are half lifted. So your heart is half in. Lift your hands like you believe. Lift your hands like his hands hung on a cross. Oh, feel the weight of glory. Woo! Uh-oh. Jesus.
Day and night, night and day, come on every boy, day and night, oh, day and night.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Right here in Perth, Australia. You are worthy. You are mighty. You are holy. Well, that's naughty.
And I exalt thee, O Lord.
Sing, I exalt thee. Doesn't matter what you sound like.
I exalt thee.
Jesus.
I exalt thee. Oh Lord, sing, I exalt.
Today we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, for there is none like you. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. We praise your name, for you are worthy. We praise your name, for you are the Alpha and the Omega. We praise your name because you're the one who is and was and is to come. We praise you because you are the way, the truth, and the life. We praise you because you alone are worthy. We praise you because you alone are holy. Come on, for 5 more seconds, would you just give God praise this afternoon? Your hands and lift your voice. Hallelujah. Oh no. Well, here we are. How you going? It's all good? So good. You can take a little bit out of the fallbacks. Man, God is here, hey. Are you ready? Before we sit down, I know we honored them last night, but can we honor our senior pastors, Pastor Ken and Pastor Chrissy? Like, the thing about honor is that it's not about whether they hear it or not. It's about our position towards our leaders. It's about making sure that honor is given where honor is due. And we're standing in the middle of a miracle. I hope your eyes are open. I hope your ears, I hope you can smell the revival that's coming. It smells like chocolate. Flowers. It doesn't. That's not correct. This is awesome. Pastor Shannon's here. I feel like I saw Pastor Gareth floating around too. Where are you? Oh, you're there? You look like a teenager. That's an unbelievable anointing. If you could just rub my face at the end of today and just give me whatever you're using, L'Oreal for men or whatever it is, Dove, Extra, I don't know. You guys are quite good, hey? You guys are doing well? He's got ChatGPT up, how good's that? How to play I Exalt Thee. No, I'm just kidding, he doesn't. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Oh, it's good to be here. Oh. No, I know. I just got, sometimes you just have to stand and just take it in. Sometimes you've just got, Pastor Nikki's arrived. Well, it's great to have you, Pastor Nikki. Who loves Pastor Nikki Den? A great friend of mine, gracing us with her presence for the session. I'm genuinely honored. Thank you for that. You can buy Pastor Nikki's book at some point over this weekend. And she's generously said when you buy hers, she'll pay for you to get mine too. So thank you for that. I appreciate the support. And that was a lie. And so under the cross, Lord, I apologize for that. Sorry, it's me again. Apologies. Should we get into the word? Hey, before we do, can I just show you a photo of my family? Because we just got family photos taken, and I feel like if I don't show them at youth events, when am I going to show them? This is my family. Here we are. Yes. And do you know what's really cool about that kid? Is he's mine. But also, the doctor said we weren't going to be able to have kids naturally. And he turns 2 in April. Who knows? The devil is a liar. Jesus is alive. And I'm happy to let you know that God does miracles not once, but twice. We're expecting another child. Here's a photo of miracle baby number 2 on the way. Hey! Let me tell you something. If you have a need in your body, let me tell you, God can do it. If the doctor said one thing, you say, I respect you and with love and mercy, I bless you, but I subscribe to a greater physician. I subscribe to the one who is and was and is to come. I subscribe to the one who sits at the right hand of the Father with fire in his eyes, praying for me right now. And so while at this camp, we're not praying for pregnancies, for the teenagers. I'm standing under the cross. We ask for your blessing to not do that, Lord. If you've got fear and anxiety, it's going to break. Let me tell you this. We either believe that it's all true, or we can't believe that part of it's true. Like, what if this weekend, like, it was actually finished? Because he says in his book, it's in red, it is finished. What's finished? Everything that's not of him is finished. The power of sin and death is broken. You're one moment away. You're one touch away. Oh, but Harry, I didn't receive anything last night. Bro, we got like 47 sessions left of this weekend, man. So let's dig. Stay by fives with a couple of people, grab a seat. We're gonna get into the word. As you do, could you stay with me just a little bit longer? Just help me just transition myself into the message. I just also want to honor Pastor Matt, Pastor Sydney. Love you guys, friends. Your hat says, I love Jesus. I'm getting one made that says, I love Matt and Jesus. I'm sparing no expense. Pastor Nikki's paying. Well, I had a different message. And I'm annoyed with the Lord because I went to bed quite late after Pastor Shannon took us to the dirtiest burger place last night. I couldn't sleep and I had a melatonin, natural of course, and I went to sleep and at 5 o'clock this morning I woke up and I was like, oh no, the melatonin didn't work, I'm awake. I tried to go back to sleep and 5:15 the Lord said, I'm waking you up. I was like, it's really inconvenient, Lord, like, please stop. He said, I'm waking you up, so get up. So I got up. I literally said out loud, I was like, God, this is super early, man. Like, what are we doing? Open the blinds. And God started to download a new message, a new thought. I preached this thought before, but I've got a new chunk in here that I feel God wants to say to you. And I want to encourage you. I don't feel like I've been invited. I feel like the Lord sent me here. I feel like I have a clear assignment from God to deliver something to you, for you, through this fleshy vessel. And so I'm praying that while there's much flesh on this vessel, ba-da-ba-ba-ba, the nuggets, man, the 20-pack got cheap. I pray more than me, way more than me, all him, that he would speak to you. So I want to encourage you for the next few minutes, write down the title of the message for the next few minutes. Take a long time to do it. The title of the message is called this, Mirror, Mirror. Mirror, Mirror. Which mirror are you looking into? Because the mirror you look into will determine the world you live in. Let's pray one more time and then we'll actually do what I'm contractually obliged to do, which is preach the word. Father, Lord, today, thank you for your presence. Oh, Lord, help me. This is going to be tough. The anointing is thick here, guys. This is a little bit tricky. It's like, it's very difficult. Anyway, we're in the middle of the prayer. Sorry, Lord, that wasn't holy. I apologize. There's a lot of distractions. And only you know if I truly have ADD. I've never been tested and I never will. They'll never catch me. Sorry. I'm gonna stand still under the cross. Lord, I'm so sorry. Oh. There's mics on the roof. Sorry, Lord. Sorry, God, thank you. Just if you could say anything through me in this next hour and 45 days, it'd be really helpful. Jesus, I love you. I thank you that it's only by your grace that we're here today. That it's only by your grace we'll be here tomorrow. So God, help us have a heck of a lot of fun. But we want to get a glimpse of your glory. Father, over the youngest to the oldest. I think Pastor Shannon might be the oldest. So God, bless him today. He's youthful at heart, Lord. He's wearing a very cool hat today, God. He's a good man. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, if you love the Lord, one more time, give us some praise. Oh, no. How's it going so far? Did you say it's not going very good to these guys? Is that what you said in the microphone? No, you said it was great. Thanks for that. One more time, can we give it up for the guys today, particularly the bass man? Feel free to have a rest, go to the car park, have a vape if you need. No, I'm just kidding. They haven't got there yet. It's still cigarettes, so that's all right. But just take off your leader lanyard when you're doing it. That'd be great. You can go. You can stop the keyboard too, because otherwise that was it's not good. Look, I'm not very good at Instagram. Neither are you if you're under the age of 16 anymore. Sorry about that. But there was a trend this week, for the last few weeks, for a period of time unknown to me, there was a trend. And it was to post photos of when you like 2016, 10 years ago. And this was me in 2016. This is a photo. Here I am. 2016, what a glorious year for my forehead and for my teeth, apparently. I know what you're thinking. Yes, I did hit puberty at the age of 28, and it all came at once, and I ate and I ate and I ate. But this was us in 2016, and there are a lot of words. There are a lot of words that get said in a relationship, and some of the most important words are the ones where you ask her out for the first time. Guys, I'm going to teach you for when you're out of high school, okay? So write this down. Annalise said no to me 3 times. Over 3 different years, correct, yes. But I persistent widowed her. Now, the day I asked her officially to be my girlfriend, it was the 3rd time. And I was there and we were sitting at the end of this wharf. It's beautiful. Starry night, calm water, dolphin. No dolphin, but there should have been. I paid for one, didn't turn up. Dolphin dashed it. And we're there and I'm looking her in the eye and I'm like, babe, here's what you gotta know. We weren't even dating yet. Babe's audacious. Baby girl. The lick, important. Snidgy to. My teeth were huge. It's like I ate her just by doing that. You know, it's crazy. It's like a T-Rex out here. You know, like it's crazy. Sweet cheeks. No, I didn't say that. Oh, it's not going well. I looked her in the eye, Gareth, and I said, Annalise, I need you to know a couple things about me. She's like, yeah, what is it? Her hair flapping in the still night. You need to know a couple things. Number one, I love you. Clock that, T. Early, out the gate. I love you. I am going to marry you. I will travel and preach the gospel for Jesus. So you'll need to be okay with me being on the road. You'll be able to come sometimes. Just not to nations at Perth for their summer camp. You can't come to that. They don't want you. But I do. I do. I'm just kidding. That was unnecessary. Stop it. So I'm giving her all these words. I'm like, you know, I'm laying it down. And she just looks at me and goes, yeah. She became my girlfriend, but who knows that year that carried weight. rejection issues. It's lowercase t trauma, but it counts. Who knows that words are pretty heavy? Like, our words carry weight. And the amount of words that we use every day, people use, a person communicates 16,000 words a day. Unless you're me, I'm probably triple that. But the average person, and most of them aren't very good, the average person communicates 16,000 words a day through speaking, texting, videoing, pigeon mail, you know, if they're still doing that. But compared to the amount of words we consume, that's nothing. Every day we consume 100,000 words on average. 100,000 words that we're hearing on social media. 100,000 words that our friends are saying to us. 100,000 words that we are receiving every day. And here's the truth. The words we say to ourselves and the words people say about us have a massive impact on our lives. If you're writing notes, write this down. Our words shape our world. The words we believe will become the words we live in. Because what happens is that we hear the words, whether they're good words or bad words, we hear the words and we believe them. And so because we believe them, our belief informs our behavior. And so our behavior either changes what those words are or it reinforces the belief that the word first gave you. Now, this works for the positive and the negative. 100,000 words per day, and depending on how you behave on those words, you're either reinforcing positivity or negativity and getting that super deep into your world. Your words shape your world. I believe that you're always going to mirror whatever mirror you're looking into. Now, that sounds like nothing, but by the end of the message, that will still sound like slightly average. So let's get into the word. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 22, don't just listen to God's word, you must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, that's the word of God, and if you do what it says, and you don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Verse 23 again, for if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. Mirror, mirror. Mirror, mirror. See, James is telling us something really important that we have to understand. He's saying to all of us that the word of God is like a mirror. That when you look into it, you see a reflection back. That the word of God, it does something to us that when we look into it, but not just look into it, we do what it says. See, that's half of our problem. Many of us here today have a physical Bible. That's amazing. How many of us are doing what the word says? Oh, you think you're holy because you own one? Nah, bro, I got like heaps as at home. But if I'm not doing what the word says, then I'm just fooling myself. See, the crazy thing is this, is that he's saying, listen, if you look into the word and do what it says, you're going to find a new freedom in your life. Freedom fuels our wonder and our faith. We need freedom. It's the whole reason Jesus came. Set us free. And our freedom now is determined upon not just the word who became flesh, but James is saying, yes, also this word. You got to look into it. It's like a mirror. Smart people in the room will ask me this question right now. You'll be thinking it. Hold on. If this is like a mirror, how? For it does not have thine glass. How does this reflect anything? I look at this and what is this? What? How does this look? How does this work? What am I supposed to see? Listen to me. When we look into this book, we don't see a reflection of what we look like. We see a reflection of who we are created to be. See, the reason the book is like a mirror is because it doesn't just show you what you look like on the outside. It shows you what God put on the inside. It shows you who you were created to be. I hope you understand today that you are God's son and you are God's daughter. I hope you understand that you're not a mistake. I hope that you understand that you're his not just nice attempt at a human being. I know, surprising, I'm included in that, I know. No, you're his masterpiece. Do you understand what that means? There is no mistake in this room. Doesn't matter what they said. Oh, you were just an accident. You know, we weren't really planning for you. Ah, but my Heavenly Father was. See, why do Christians care so much about abortion? Because the Bible says that he knit you together in your mother's womb. With everything else, in the beginning God spoke. But with us, he got his hands dirty. And he's still in the business of knitting people together in their mother's wombs right now. Yeah. He has good words for your life. But let me tell you this, before the word is even spoken, his hands are right there knitting you together. You're precious in his sight. Your life has meaning, value, and purpose. You're the best of the best, the top of the top. It means that you're special. It means you're beautiful. Thanks. It means you're strong. It means you're capable. It means you're talented, gifted, loved. It means you're worth it. It means you're able. It means you're smart, wonderful, and so much more. Who loves that? Woo! Yay. Do you know the only problem with that, Pastor Matt? Is it's all true, but the devil knows it too. And the devil hates that about you. In fact, the whole reason he hates you is because once you give your life to Jesus, which so many of us did last night, we're all in agreement on that one, you now have access to a kingdom he doesn't. Why is he trying to steal a whole generation? Millions of babies aborted every year. Why is he trying to steal a generation? I reckon it's because he knows that the revival we've been praying for is coming through Gen Alpha. I reckon it's because he knows that when a generation rises up in the revelation of who they are in Christ, all of a sudden, the things of heaven become clear on earth. You're not a mistake, bro. You're not a mistake, bro-ess. See, the devil knows this. The devil knows this, and the devil has a mirror too. The devil, he uses the mirror of the world. He uses the mirror of the world and he reflects back to us what is wrong with us. Our mistakes, our flaws, our failures. Write this down. God's mirror is the word and the devil's mirror is the world. Through the sin of the world, he speaks to us, getting us to believe his lies, that we are not loved, that we are not good enough, and we're not good enough to be the children of God's children. That was butchered, but that's all right. We'll cut it out of the podcast. See, this is how the devil works. He gets us to believe we're sinful, gets us to believe we're broken, and then what happens is we behave like that. We behave like we're sinful. We behave like we're broken. We behave like we're limited. And because we behave like it, it reinforces that behavior of sin. That's why it's not enough just to get like a good vibe at a youth camp. It's not enough. You got to do a deeper work. You can't just change your behavior. You can't just fight your way out of sin in your own strength. If we could, the New Testament wouldn't need to be a thing. Because the sacrifices of the doves, which is just an albino pigeon, would have been enough. But Jesus had to come and die for our sin, so that he could give us access to change our innermost being. So many of us are stuck in a cycle of sin, wishing we could break free from. I want to tell you who the devil is. John chapter 8, verse 44b to 45, A to Z. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So when I tell you the truth, this is Jesus speaking, you just naturally don't believe me. The devil is a liar. I don't know what you think about the devil, but the devil's not this misunderstood character who got unfortunately ejected from heaven. Bro, I've been seeing some wild things out there, man. He's just misunderstood. Oh, he just wanted to be liked. No, he wanted it all for himself. And in his sin, he was separated from God. Our tension as Christians is that we're supposed to live in the world, but not supposed to live like it. So what happens is, for so many of us, what happens is we live in the mirror of the world. And what happens is we start to look at ourselves in the reflection. Maybe I have lost some weight. Or maybe it's the triple XL shirt. You know what I'm saying? Life hacks. Just trying to get the pen working. Just give me a second. Sorry about that. Just ignore that. It's not part of the illustration. So we look into the mirror of the world. And what happens is the words that we hear from the world begin to get written in our eye line. Things like, and look, we're not going to judge for spelling today, okay? Like, I've come to say the word of God, not spell it, okay? So just relax, all of you. Okay. So the things that we get told is that you're worthless. It does say worthless. It's just in hieroglyphics. It's in Microsoft Word wingdings today. It's a deep millennial cut. Some of us hear the words, you're ugly, you're a failure, you're impure. Just forgot some of the nasty words. Well, that's a good one. You're not enough. You can't. The problem is we start to look at this mirror, and then we start to look at everybody else through the reflection of this mirror. And I start to see Shannon with his cool hat, and I'm like, oh, I don't have a cool hat. I'm not fashionable. I'm poor. I'm unloved. If I had. If I was. And then because we spend time looking in this mirror, we become depressed. That's what that says. I'll body block that for as long as I can. Become anxious about our spelling. And comparison just ruins everything. And it doesn't even matter if you can read that, because I know what's going on in my head right now. I know what I'm hearing in my own head. And you know what you're hearing today too. And the problem is this becomes the worldview that we look at our lives through. So this is what we believe about ourselves. And because we believe this, what happens is we get so stuck in this. We spend so much time looking into the mirror of the world and we believe what it says. We make it our identity. I am one of those words. I am ugly. I am worthless. I am depressed. And it becomes so deeply intertwined into who we are, we lose our sense of security. See, when this mirror, when that becomes our identity, we become insecure. We become uncertain about the future. We become anxious about today. We don't become confident in who God is. We start asking those questions, did God really? Is God really? Will God really? Because of the insecurity around this mirror, what we then do is we try to, man, this is a very deep shelf in this cupboard. I could hide in there. Talk amongst yourselves for a second. I choked. What we try and do is we then try and take our humanity and solve this for ourselves. And we try and hide it by just blending in. We go to the parties. We let a little bit of Instagram half nudity get in, and then all of a sudden it turns into pornography. We start sleeping with our boyfriend or girlfriend and call it normal. We come to church less and less. We come to youth less and less. We own all the Bibles in the world, but we don't read them. We start to use things like drugs, alcohol, vapes, like our praise and worship team are doing right now. And all of our trying, all of our trying to hide and get rid of it just makes it worse and worse and worse. And now we're living not just with the sin issues and the belief issues, but we're living with a smeared reality. Now we can't see which way is up. Now we don't know which way to go. All it does is make life more confusing. Here's what I need you to know. Trying to find security in your sin, all that it does is it smears the lies around. And it makes us more anxious, depressed, confused, and heavy. We say that we're living in relationship with God, but instead we're actually just stuck living in the mirror of our world. Do you know what's crazy? We don't just have that mirror now. We have, pass me a phone. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's a great photo. We have black mirrors. You know the crazy thing about these mirrors is they don't reflect to us the lies of the enemy, they project the lies of the enemy. Brain rot. 6-7. So, do they need deliverance or are they just stuck in a loop? You know what I'm saying? Like, 6-7, 6-7. Both, probably actually. They're stuck. Crazy that inside our pockets, we have more technological advancement than what sent the astronauts to the moon. The algorithm's out to get you. Straight up. The most valuable commodity in this earth is your attention and your time. Because where you give your attention and time to, that's what's going to shape your world. So many of us are stuck now, not just living with the smeared reality of our world, we're stuck having these projections thrown at us all day, every day. It's not just our phones, it's our iPads, it's our laptops, it's the world that we're living in. And these, like I said, they don't just reflect, they project how to be, how to appear, how to act, how to behave. They get notifications, new videos, updates to games, new things. We spend hours every day on this. It's crazy to me that a generation are like, oh my gosh, I don't have time for anything yet. Show me your screen time, I'll show you your future. I met one teenage girl, she spent 9 hours a day on Snapchat. She spent another 8 hours in that day on TikTok. No wonder we're depressed. No wonder we're anxious. Because for hour after hour after hour, this is projecting onto us how we should be, what we should do, what we should think. And instead of living in and out of a relationship with the Holy Spirit, we live with the fear of man and we smudge the view of our lives. We come to youth, we come to camp, we come to church, and we know the words to sing. Roo, 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 roo. That's the easiest one. It's my favorite worship song. Roo, 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 roo. That wasn't good. We'll take that out of the repertoire. We know the words to sing. Hey, we know the words to say. We know when to affirm. And we know when to look confused and puzzled by the miraculous depth that I'm bringing to today's session. We know the behavior, when to lift our hands, when to clap. We know all of the religion, but we don't actually understand the relationship. Like Pastor Matt said last night, Saul entered an environment that was far beyond what his authority was. I've entered that environment at this camp. Like, what are we doing, bro? I don't even know. I do know. I'm under full control. Tell Pastor Ken I've got it sorted. Anything I do wrong, Pastor Nikki can just mop it up. She's ready. Rude. put that on my mirror. So Saul comes into an environment which is way beyond his authority, and he receives the touch of heaven. Yeah. It's amazing. What an amazing thought that we could receive from God so amazingly. But why then in the following chapters does he throw it all away? Oh, that's the part we won't tell you. I will. Why doesn't my verse of the day, YouVersion notification pop up, tell me all of Saul's failures? Because it doesn't make us feel good about our humanity. But the truth is, Saul had the Spirit of the Lord come upon him in power and measure, but Saul never made room for the Spirit to remain. See, the Spirit of God fell on Saul, but it was sin that formed him. See, we read this in 1 Samuel 13 to 15. Our theme chapter comes from chapter 10, but only a few chapters later, Saul would do three things that would throw it all away. He would offer sacrifices out of fear, not faith. He would obey God partially and then justify it spiritually. He would blame people, pressure, and the moment. He would blame anything but himself. So you got to understand that Saul's sin did not remove the anointing. It just smudged it slowly. He was anointed by Samuel to be king. He had every word from God's prophet affirming him, yet the sin smeared his view until the image of who he was in God was unrecognizable. And we sit here and we're like, oh my gosh, how could Saul do that? What a loser. I would never. Straya. It's my Nikki Dent impersonation. Just kidding. No, I gotta stop. I'm sorry. I gotta stop. I'm slowing down. Do you know that's exactly what we do too? All three things I said Saul does is what we do. Let me show you. The first thing that we do as well is we offer our lives out of fear, not faith. Oh, I'm just afraid of hell. I'm just scared of what could be. So I don't have faith in Jesus, but it's like an insurance policy. I'll hedge my bets. Yeah, I guess I'll put my chips in on Jesus. This one, let's sit here for a second. We partially obey and then we justify it spiritually. Here's some examples. I still love God, but selective obedience. What am I talking about? I still love God, but I don't read my Bible. I still love God, but I don't want to forgive them, but I still love God. I love God, but because God knows my heart, I don't need to change my behavior because he accepts me just as I am. What else do we do? This is fun. We use grace to excuse disobedience. Well, it's all good. God will just forgive me anyway. That's grace, isn't it? I can do whatever I want and then come to youth and be like, I'm sorry. We use grace to justify disobedience. See, here's the problem. We're a generation that's so used to using grace as permission to do bad things, but not power to overcome them. His grace is sufficient, yes, but don't you dare abuse it, otherwise he'll take his hand off. Not because he hates you, but because sin and holiness do not mix, and he will not be mocked. Here's another one. We keep one foot in church, but one foot in sin. I only watch porn sometimes. It's not on Sunday, it's the Lord's Day. Oh, we're not sleeping together, but we are doing everything else. I only vape when I'm stressed. So you stressed all the time then, bro? What's going on? Like, it's the third time in this last hour. Let's get you some help. Well, Mum bought the alcohol for me to take to the party, so I guess it's okay. Ah, it's just a joke. Swearing's all good. Well, at least I'm just not as bad as them. Here's the worst one. You ready for this one? This is good. But it's the worst one, so it's bad. Write down. It's a good one, worst one, it's bad. What we do is we spiritualize disobedience with God said. No, you don't understand. God told me it's fine. God said it's fine. Oh, I prayed about it. I've just got a peace. I've got a peace about it. You've got a peace about marijuana? I mean, that's what happens when you smoke it. Got peace about it. Here's the thing, friend. If you say God said, as a pastor and leader, I can't argue that. And that's why you do it. Because leaders can't argue with that. We've got to understand that when we do this, we're doing exactly what Saul did. The last thing that Saul did is we blame our sin on people, pressure, and the moment. We don't take personal responsibility. Oh, well, I'm that way because of my parents. I'm that way because they didn't love me. I'm that way because bullies bully me and I have no friends. I'm just that way. I couldn't tell them about Jesus. I'm that way. I feel pressure in the moment. I can't talk to them about Jesus. Someone else will do it. Let me tell you what Saul proves. The story of Saul proves something very terrifying. You can prophesy and still disobey. You can feel the Spirit of God and still feed the flesh. You can have a moment with God and miss the future God has for you. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul, absolutely. It anointed him and appointed him to be king. But Saul never dealt with the sin that would eventually drive the Spirit away. Mirror, mirror. This is not God's plan. He does not want you depressed, anxious, confused, and despising the life that you have. He doesn't want you to believe the lies. So he gave us a mirror. Truth. Truth. To combat every lie. Look at this. John 17, 17 says, make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is the truth. Let me tell you, friend, this book is not just a book of good ideas. It's not just a book of cool, interesting stories that can teach us about the past. This is the truth. The all of Scripture, the Bible says, is useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking. We don't get to edit out bits we feel uncomfortable about. We don't get to get rid of the murder. We don't get to get rid of all of the yucky, confusing things we don't fully understand. But it is the truth. Here's what I love about this book as the band comes and joins me. What I love about this book is that when you read it, you reflect the fullness of God in the world around you. It's a mirror filled with truth that when you begin to believe it, you will see your behavior change to become more like Him. When we read the Bible, we see that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. When we read the Bible, we see that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When we read the Bible, we see that God is the great I am, that nothing is too hard for God, that I'm never abandoned by God, that I'm a royal priesthood, I am loved, I am chosen, I am anointed, I am forgiven, I am believed and I am wonderful. I am more precious than every diamond and ruby on the face of the earth. When I read the Bible, I see something amazing. I see that I am God's and that God is mine. And when you live looking out of this mirror and living out this truth, my friend, I got to tell you, you don't just find freedom, you live in it. You live in it. So if God's word is the mirror of truth, why are so many of us stuck believing lies? Because we're living between two mirrors. Our lives, a mirror, 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 mirror. The mirror of truth, the mirror of lies. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to straddle this awkward gap between the two. We're trying to wrestle out our humanity by only partly relying on the divinity. We're trying to make sense of something that doesn't make sense. The mirror of the world and the mirror of the word. But when we live like this, we're a reed tossed around, thrown around by waves and by water. And we end up not believing either. Our behavior is confused and messed up because you can't live between two mirrors. How do I know this? Because a doctor told me once I'd never have babies. Can we put up that photo of my boy? That's the side of my head. Sorry. I practiced this in the mirror at home. Start out on the journey. We're gonna have babies. because it seems like that's what people can do real easy. Let's try, let's start trying. 1 month, doesn't work. All good, we'll try again next month. 3, 4, 5 months. All good. I'm doing my part out here, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm doing my part, you know? We'll keep trying. Month 7. We get the report back that there's an issue with my body. And that we're probably not going to have kids naturally. And the doctor says even with IVF, there's no guarantee. You're probably going to have to come to terms with the fact that you'll never have kids. Like, just come to terms with that. You know what month is the hardest? Month 9. Because if God had answered it first time, I'd be holding a baby in my hands. And it's not even hard for me, it's hard for my wife. Because it's not an issue with her, it's an issue with me. I'm infertile. Over a year of trying, nothing. Maybe they were right about McDonald's. Maybe it is bad for you. Start listening to the lies of the enemy. I've got body issues. And I mistake what the doctor said and I start thinking myself as ugly, fat, useless. Man, if I was muscly, if I was fit, like I'd be able to have a kid. Like, it's all my fault. I remember coming home after this one ministry trip. I was angry. Came home, Annalise, it was that time of the month again, and we just found out again, this is now, it's like almost 2 years. Just remember throwing my bag down. God! I am so done with this. I have served kids that I don't even like for 10 years. And to be fair, that part was true. Don't be offended, we've just met, okay? I see you in that middle section, you're still unsure. Why did we bring this guy? For the comedic afternoon relief. God, I hate this. I'm done. I don't care anymore. How dare you? This is my prayer. How dare you? How dare you ask me to give you everything, but yet I ask for one thing I really desire above all else. So much for giving me the desires of my heart, hey? I'm done. Annalise grabs me and said, hey. I was like, yeah. That hey means I've done something wrong. She's like, hey, we need to pray. I was like, nah. I just prayed. I don't think he's answering my calls at the moment. If you get a voicemail like that, you're not going to pick up the next call. You know what I mean? Whoa, crazy. Why did we make him? Grabbed her and I felt the conviction of the Lord. We need to decide, babe. Are we in or are we out? It's been like 12 years. Are we in with this thing or are we out? What if God never gives us a kid? Will we still give him everything? Bro, 45 minutes on that couch. Bethel TV on. They had no shoes, so I closed my eyes. It's very gross. And we wept and we prayed. I don't know, I didn't read my Bible, but I started remembering what his word said. Be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. Children are like arrows in the quiver. God gives arrows. Oh God, this is actually your mandate. I started to change the words I was listening to. I started to change the words I was believing. I started to change the sound that was in my own mind. I grabbed my wife's hand. I said, babe, that's it. Doesn't matter. If he never gives us a kid, I'm not walking away. If he never gives us a miracle, hey, I'm not giving this up. Why? Because there's kids that don't have a mum and dad, I'll adopt. That's enough for me. We're all in. We started getting tests done for IVF. We rolled up on that doctor's appointment. We got home from an international trip where we preached on the other side of the world to kids I didn't even like. They're not like you, though. I like you. You've laughed at enough things. Annalise comes through with a pregnancy test. I'm pregnant. I was super sick, so I was like, no, I'm not ready. Went to the doctor, got it confirmed. Do you know what's hard? Having the miracle once. The baby, right here, this is him, Bowden. Ah, he's the best. Again, that's the fat rolls on my neck. Let's get the kid up there. There you go. Nothing prepares you to hold a miracle in your hands. That baby was born. I weep because all of a sudden I understood the love of the Father. All of a sudden I understood how God could never let me go. How even when I cursed him out that day, how even when I turned my back on him, how even when I was a young man and hurt and rejected, I used pornography and girls to medicate my pain and he never left. I remember the times I cried out for him and he didn't give me everything I wanted, but he gave me everything of himself. And I remembered the times I was broken. I remember the time I was hurt and I'm holding this baby in my hands. If only you knew. If only you knew that the Word of God was real. If only you lived in a way that you actually took God at His Word. See, unless we actually destroy this mirror, you're going to live your life between the two. What did I do in my prayer? I remembered the Word of God in my life. You've got to realize today, friend, that in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, 29, it says, "Does my word not burn like fire, says the Lord? Is it not like a mighty hammer that smashes a rock into pieces?" My friend, we've got to come to terms with the reality that God's word, that was way higher than I thought. God's word is not just a book of fairy tales. God's word is not just a book that's going to make you feel good when you're down. It's not a book of empty promises. It's not a book that's going to leave you forsaken. It's a book of His truth. Does His word not burn like fire in you? Is it not like a hammer that destroys the words of the enemy? You've got to decide today that it is finished. These lies are finished. These lies are done. That you're not living in the world anymore, broken and confused, tossed and turned, but you're standing on business. You're standing on the Word of God, the immovable truth. Today God's going to smash it over your life. As you come to the One who is and was and is to come. Yeah, the Holy Spirit's going to come, but let me tell you, His Word is backing up that Spirit. His Word is authenticating the call today. You guys ready for some glass? Oh, sorry, I got to put the safety glasses on, sorry. Operational health and safety requirement. I'm genuine, I have to wear these for legal reasons. Because they're cool. The speed glasses. Are you ready for the word? Are you ready for the way, the truth, and the life? Are you ready to receive what God has for you? Are you ready to actually dwell in freedom? Are you ready not just to touch the tingle of God, but are you ready to take hold? You got to get the word, not just in your hand. Oh, but I got a new score on my Bible streak. I read it for 2 days in a row, but it didn't smash. I own a Bible. I read it every now and again. It's not enough. Unless you read that word, believe what it says, and do what it says, you're only fooling yourself. That's why you come to youth and you leave the exact same way you came in, because you're not ready to do what it takes. You're not ready to go all the way. I believe there's a generation rising up in Western Australia that's about to not just believe. That's why you need catches in church. Oh no, for real, you thought that it was just like a one-hit wonder. I don't know if I like falling over, it's a bit scary. Yeah, bro, sometimes things have got to shift. Because sometimes the lies are so stubborn, it's been spoken over generation to generation. But with one touch from God and a repetitive open lifestyle, not a camp or a holiday, but a lifestyle of repetition. I'm stressed for you. I feel like you should wear those. I wear them. You do work here. Thanks for buying the toughest mirror in the world. But stubborn generational curses are about to break. Even the things the devil has planned for you are about to fail. We're digging more than wells in the west. We're standing on business. We're going in the authority of heaven. We are leaving it behind. We're leaving this. We're saying goodbye. We're breaking it. We're leaving it behind. Come on, stand to your feet and give God praise today. If you're ready for everything to bow at the name of Jesus, He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. He is your God. He is my God. You are His son and daughter. You are His son and daughter. Oh, but Harry, there's still glass in that mirror. Yeah. Because the power of sin and death is broken, but there's still some behavior you're going to have to walk out and change. But the scars of what God is doing in your, is removing from your life, the scars of what the devil once did, the scars of what the devil once did, don't prove you're a failure. Listen, it shows God's radical mercy and grace over your life. Yeah, I was once addicted to pornography, but I'm not anymore. That's a testimony to His grace. Yeah, I was once bounded by anger and in my frustration, but I'm not anymore. That's a testimony to His grace. Even when He hung on that cross, the Bible says that He came back from heaven with the holes in His hand to testify of His grace and His mercy for you. As we open this altar, it's the trumpet sound. Get ready, He's coming back. I don't know how much time we got left. I don't know. I don't know if He's coming back tomorrow or in 20 minutes. But man, I'm ready for everything He has. But if you know you're here tonight and you've been entertaining these things for too long, if you know that you've been juggling this mirror, if you've been juggling this mirror, going back and forth, today in this session, God wants to finish it over your life once and for all. So the team are going to sing something. And I want you, if you know that you've been wrestling with this for too long, if something in this message has sparked conviction in you and you need to break it off your life today, I won't hit you with a hammer. Not allowed to do that legally. But what I will do is I'll lay my hands on some of you, and other leaders and men and women of God will do that too. And you watch as every lie burns, as every false testimony burns, as every action that was taken on you burns. If that's you today, as the team start to sing, just step out of your seat and come down the front right now. If you're ready for God to break everything and set you free.